Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 463. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. Our numbers stand as follow for today, Sunday, July 19th, 2020. Worldwide infected, 14.5 million. U.S. infected, 3.86 million. Worldwide deaths, 607,000. U.S. deaths, 143,000. The usual caveats about all those numbers not necessarily being super accurate. Something I want you to pay attention to before we get into the other articles. Notice as we're going through this, as time goes on, there was a time in which U.S. deaths represented approximately half of the deaths, and our infection rate was like half the infections and stuff. Now look at this, worldwide, 14.5 million US, 3.86 million. We're still disproportionate given our population, all that stuff. But what we are seeing is that the disease is taking hold in other parts of the world, specifically Latin America. It's creeping its way through Africa. Obviously, India is a big problem right now. So we're seeing that this is starting to hit in some of the third world areas that are going to be very hard hit by this, given their medical infrastructure. So one of the first stories I wanted to talk about this week is something that I find really interesting in this whole thing, and that's the idea of Taiwan and Tokyo. These are the success stories we should be talking about. So let's talk about Taiwan. Taiwan's an island that's less than 100 miles from China, and more than 1 million Taiwanese workers work in China and constantly travel back and forth. There's a lot of travel between Taiwan and mainland China. It's also heavily and densely populated. It's a country of 24 million people, most of which are packed into urban centers on the island. So it's not that different from, you know, density of places like New York City. And it should be the center of an epidemic, right? It's right across from the China. They should have gotten it in early. They're densely packed. Lots of people going around, just like, you know, New York was seeing deaths in the thousands per day or something. You know, they should have a lot of deaths. They should have gotten infected before us. It should have spread rapidly through there, especially because guess what? They never did a lockdown. They never did a quarantine. So you might be thinking, wow, what is their death rate? You know, if we just covered the fact that the U.S. has 143,000 dead people there, how many do they have in there? The answer? Seven. Not 7,000, not 700. Seven deaths. 500 cases and seven deaths over the whole epidemic. To put that in perspective, currently the U.S. death rate is about 1,000 people per day. Meaning that when you listen to this episode from start to finish, it should be, yeah, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. That means that more Americans died of COVID during the time you listened to this particular COVID episode than Taiwanese have died of COVID in the entire pandemic. Let that sink in. Again, no quarantine, right across the street, so to speak, from China. A bunch of people going back and forth from China. Super dense population, super dense impact, and no lockdown, and yet somehow seven deaths. So what happened? How did that happen? Well, one is they have a very different healthcare system than us. Not only a more advanced healthcare system, but one with a digital ID. That means that anytime you swipe it anywhere you go, it records it. The government can access that. We wouldn't be able to do that here because of HIPAA violations. But that ability allowed the government to do basically 100% contact tracing, see where the disease was coming from, where it was spreading, what little pockets were popping up. And in doing that, they were able to squash it really, really fast. The contact tracing was really important because they could keep the epidemics from happening in asymptomatic cases. But most importantly, they wear masks. They practice social distancing, they wear masks, and they're cognizant of the people around them. Same thing is true with Tokyo. Tokyo is denser than New York. Not only is it close to China, they never shut down the border with China. People in the middle of the outbreak, when it was its peak, people were still coming from China into Japan. They also didn't do a full lockdown, and they have a super old population. Indeed, one of the oldest populations on the earth is Japanese people. We know age is the main contributing factor to deaths. So how is it that they made it out with about 1,000 deaths? The same thing. Masks, social distancing, and culture. They have a culture that isn't so much huggy and kissy and stuff, so that helps a little bit too. But masks and social distancing and putting social pressure. My favorite is that a Japanese minister was talking about this and they were having a meeting with other countries. How do we replicate Japan's success? You guys are doing so well. And he said, the problem isn't the technology. The problem is the mindu, which is a Japanese word meaning the quality of the people. And basically what Japan said is, our people are just better than yours. And guess what? They're fucking right. The Japanese are way better than us. They're way better because they can manage to do all this in an incredibly impacted area, incredibly close quarters, everybody right on top of each other, and yet still not spread it. Why? Because they're better than us because they wear their fucking masks and they keep their distance and they're polite and they stay inside when they're sick. Because of Mindu, they are indeed better than us. All right, on to the next article. No love for a G strain. So we talked a few weeks back about the mutant variant of SARS-CoV-2 that's taken over the globe. Remember, we talked about how this variant came in. It was more infectious. It's completely replaced the original strain called the D strain. And this new strain, the G strain, who has a mutation that researchers believe make it much more contagious, but not necessarily more deadly. Remember, we talked about that before, you know, 3 to 9 times more contagious, but maybe the same death rate. Well, a paper this week published in the same journal, Cell, calls into question if it really is more infectious in the first place. This can be really hard to study because you're not exactly just, you know, putting a bunch of viral particles in the air and seeing who catches it. And it could just be that the reason you're seeing a preponderance of the G strain is because, you know, it just so happened through chance that G became the most popular one without necessarily having to be more infectious. In fact, the researchers for this, we'll call it not a G paper. The researchers for this not a G paper basically point out that COVID is kind of weird in that a very small minority of super spreaders and super spreading events end up infecting the vast majority of people. So it's not like a cold where your average person just infects a certain average number of people and it gets bigger that way. This is because certain people don't wear masks, certain people don't social distance. So actually, most infections are from a small number of people. Because of that, there's a non-zero chance that the reason we're seeing more G infections isn't because it's more infectious, but rather just because that is the one that happened to be spread by those super spreaders at some point and happened to make its way through. So basically, it's a refutation of the idea that the G strain is special at all. These researchers believe it may not be. It might just be an artifact of how this particular virus made its way around the world, that the D strain got replaced by the G strain. We still have more to learn about this. This will be a publishing back and forth until we solve this question. But for right now, it's up in the air. Is G more contagious? Some of the evidence certainly looks like it, but it might not necessarily be definitive. And lastly, some good news. It may be the case that COVID-infected kids do not transmit the virus very well. We've talked about this a few times as a possibility, but a new paper just came out in the journal Pediatrics. And they showed a bunch of examples of how child-to-child transmission or child-to-adult transmission does not seem to be happening as much as we would expect. So one of the studies they looked at the households of 39 Swiss children infected with COVID-19, and they did contract tracing and found out that in only 3 of those cases was a child suspected of being the index case that brought it into the home. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that children can't spread it. Maybe in those circumstances, the kids were on break or something, so it was more likely to be an adult, but they don't believe the kids were spreading it in those circumstances. In China, a women's and children's hospital looked at cases from January 20th to February 27th, and 96% of those were household contacts of previously infected adults. So they weren't getting it from the kids in those places. Another study of Chinese children, 9 out of 10 children admitted to several provincial hospitals outside of Wuhan contacted COVID-19 from an adult with only 1 possible child-to-child transmission. So again, this is almost anecdotal to some extent. What we're saying is in these cases, it does not appear that children are the cause of transmissions. Now, that could also just as easily be the case if children transmitted it just as much, but were just not the likely person to get it because of social reasons. For instance, if schools closed or something like that, but people were still going to work, then it'd be much more likely that obviously adults would be the ones that are transferring it. We also talked a few months ago about that French boy who went to school with like 80 other kids. He went on a skiing vacation. We found out later he was infected the whole time and he did not spread it. There's a bunch of these examples in that paper. You can go check it out. Again, it's in the journal Pediatrics. But the problem is we're still seeing rising cases in certain places like Texas surrounding childcare facilities. Since we don't have good contact tracing, we're not sure how that is spreading. The authors of this paper did note that, and they speculated that it might not actually be the kids spreading it. Because if you think of what's going on in those areas, you have a bunch of parents dropping off all these kids at the childcare center and then picking them up. And usually in between, they're walking in and out. They noted that Texas right now has a very strong culture of anti-mask wearing, and that it might be that while the children's schools are the hub and focus of some of these outbreaks, that it might actually be the parents who are spreading it amongst themselves as they're going to go pick the kids up, especially with that anti-mask attitude. We're not sure. Again, we will not know this for a while, but that would be great news. If we found out that kids are not a major source of infection, that would very much change the mathematics of herd immunity, of how many people we need to make sure to get vaccinated before we get to a certain level, of how transmission spreads, of what we have to be worried about. Heck, for all we know, if that were true, there might be ways where we could safely open schools this fall. We'd still have to worry about those maskless parents and all that kind of stuff. But realistically, this could be amazing news. And one of the ones I wanted to keep for the end, because it was so promising, I want to try and end on a high note every once in a while. All right, thank you guys so much for joining me for Science Faction 463, where you learned all about how Taiwan and Tokyo have found a way to make this work, how the G-strain might not be as cool as we all think it is, and how kids might not be able to transmit the disease very well. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 464.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.